Michael. Good morning, church. You heard him, right? I think we should all answer him one of those times. That's about as clear. Did you notice Chris is back? Jesse's here. Josie's here. Amanda's here. Probably others that I'm missing. I haven't noticed yet, but how exciting. How exciting to have the vigor and enthusiasm and the fire of these young lives back here with us. There have been so many encouragements lately. I've been encouraged all week long. Presenting last week's vision was an exciting time to get that out into your hands and hearts and minds. I've had a lot of encouraging feedback from the whole congregation. But one of the things I wanted to touch on last Sunday, because things were tight and didn't have time to talk, was how blessed an evening Friday evening was. Friday before last Sunday, the 11th. We had, this room was transformed into a dining room. The caterers downstairs were taking care of preparing a delicious meal. But our teenagers were serving and performing, literally. We had a musical numbers being done by our youth. And it was a wonderful meal. There were so many good things going on that evening. And I wanted to thank the youth group for doing it. John Teamer did a few songs with us, which was a real treat. But the entire evening was a real time of encouragement, of uplift, of unity. All toward a good goal, and I just wanted to thank you guys. It was very well put together, a lot of hard work, and a very blessed time. We grow so much from those sorts of things, the special gatherings. And did you all notice we didn't get together Wednesday? We had some incidents going on Wednesday. They're called snowflakes, and there are a couple of hundred trillion of them out there. What a beautiful storm. I hope nobody had any serious problems with it. I know there were a lot of folks in the ditch and some accidents, but otherwise we've been blanketed with some real beauty. When we have a time like that, we send an email out. If you didn't get an email, two things. One is, for some of you, I know because you got back with me, your junk mail filter grabbed it, you know, ate the Valley Church email. So check that to make sure you're allowed our address to get through, because it is a shotgun email, and some of those filters think it's a junk mail. But the other thing is we might have it wrong or not have your email address. So give us that. That's the first way we'll be announcing those. And the second way, I should say the three ways. The next way is we put it up on the website. As soon as we've made a decision, we'll put a banner up that says this service has been canceled, whichever it is, and then we make phone calls for those who do not have email otherwise. So please check in with us. And for visitors and others who will be coming, we just try to connect the best we can. So let's help each other do that. And I hope Wednesday night wasn't too much of a difficulty. I want to get back to that in just a second, but let's go to our Father in prayer. Precious Lord, Heavenly Father, how can we praise you for all of the wonderful things that are going on here, the encouragement, the growth, the unity, the relationships, the safe return of our young students coming home and reconnecting with us, of their growth and all of the connections we have around the world with this church. Thank you so much, Father. We pray for a good use of this time, this holiday time, this Christmas time, that as the world takes a bit of time and remembers that and takes note that your Son came to this earth, born as an infant to a human mother, and then walked on this earth to show us the way to you, Father. Father, we pray that we take and use this time right and wisely and carefully, with love and purpose for your glory. Help that in this lesson we get from it that which we need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you got the email this past Wednesday about the Wednesday service cancellation, You'll remember that it said something like, due to bad weather and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, services canceled. Please use this time to pull together as a family for some songs, some devotional, and some Bible reading. And I pray that you were able to do that. That you took that period of time rather than as a, I can finally go to the store and get, you know, I get a little more shopping time, or I can finally get these Christmas letters out, or I can finally, you know, whatever extra project got plugged into the time that you would have been here in Bible class, that you instead say, no, let's pull together as a family. And that's what this lesson is about. That when people think about holiday time, almost always, the beautiful and the pleasant and the lovely and the special memories are almost always of relationships, of the entire family around the dinner table, of everybody sitting around and exchanging a gift. And if you were there, if you were left alone with a stack of gifts, you know, you'd think that would please you, but it doesn't. It's not the gift, it's the relationship that makes the gift special. It is more blessed to give than to receive, right, brother? Because of the relationship, because of the connection with the other person. And we ought to be very deliberate about that. That here we have, some of you have taken time off work, some of you get part of this week off naturally, some of you work all the way through Friday and all the rest of it. But whatever your time is, I'd like you to do one thing to begin with, and it's everybody breathe in. Breathe out. Relax and slow down. That we slow down. If I started talking about all the projects you've got in front of you that have to be done this week before next, you know, you haven't found the right and the other stuff hasn't been wrapped, and by the way, you didn't have enough, and those you got the wrong address on those cards that you have to change, and you haven't shopped for the right foods that you wanted because you were going to get, and the other place has the sale, and if you don't get out Tuesday to get to the store, then it's going to be worse on Wednesday, which is, you know. And so, slow down. If you don't do anything except slow down in your heart, in your thoughts, that'll be a good first step. But to remember that it's the relationships, it's the people. God has made three institutions, one with a caveat, but God made three groups of people. God made the church, which was the newest thing, the latest thing he's done, is he made this thing called the church. It's the body of his son. But before he did that, way back in the formulation of people and organization, God made government. God made a set of institutions that were used to govern people, and the subcategory of that is nations. You know, God is responsible for nations. But it's this governmental thing, whether it's a king or a president or a chancellor or a council, there's a government, and it's in place by God and chosen by God and given authority by God. So he's made the church, he's made government, but the very first thing he made was family. God had a man, and then he had a woman, and he brought them together and made them one. Took two people and made them one. He made family. Psalm 127, we just read, says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. What it's saying is all good things come from God. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Put the word home, if you like, in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the home, they labor in vain who build it. The strength of our, fill in the blank, depends on the strength of our families, the strength of our state, the strength of our cities, the strength of our neighborhoods, the strength of our nation, the strength of our communities, the strength of our morals, the strength of our character as a people or as a nation. All depends on the strength of our families, and the strength of us as a church comes from, is founded on, is built up by the strength of us as families. And it's got to be God building your families. Unless the Lord builds it, they labor in vain who build it. In this week, in these 2 weeks coming up, when things tend to slow down and speed up simultaneously, slow down because you tend to go to work less, but speed up because you tend to add to your projects and to your schedule a lot more, that we take these 2 weeks, we take this holiday season, and we make it a time to build up families. We make it a time that God puts his hand and his workings and his will into our homes, and that you slow down this afternoon, this evening. One of the blessings of not having a Sunday evening service is that you have an evening, hopefully unencumbered, set aside to be family, that you pull together as family. God has given us a home for very specific reasons. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. God has given us a home for very specific reasons. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 reads this way: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All of us want to have children who are smart, and we want to be well-informed, and we want to have knowledge. Isn't it interesting that the beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord? The beginning of knowing something is understanding who God is, what God is, who God is, where God is in relationship to me. The beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord, or the other way around. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Verse 8, Proverbs 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath on your head and ornaments around your neck. God has created the home, the family, to train, as a place of training. Now, the focus of the training, the object of the training is the children. Now, anybody in here who's ever taught a class, anybody in here who's ever led a training program, anybody in here who's ever trained somebody else knows who learns more in the training situation. Who learns more, the teacher or the student? Always. Always. The teacher learns more. Because you got to be ready to teach the class. You got to be ready to train the subject. If you're going to teach how to operate the FM widget maker, you got to know the widget maker from top to bottom, front to back, what can go right, what can go wrong, what the output's supposed to look like, what the input looks like, and what the widget is. Left-handed, right-handed, straight, crooked, or otherwise. Wooden widgets and chrome widgets. You've got to know them. And at that point, you can begin to impart information. And such as it is in the home. Every parent in you, in here, will tell you that they are challenged teaching their children. They are challenged being an example to their children. Okay, sure. I've got two sets of eyes watching everything I say, do, think, eat, where I sit, how long I sit, when I wake up, when I go to bed. Okay, I am constantly being evaluated and measured. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. The scripture is to my two boys, son, listen to what your father says. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. But mom and dad are reading this going, okay, I'm supposed to be giving instruction. And mom says, I'm supposed to be teaching something. Godly, purposed, directioned. You see, the point of home, the point of family, is to give little ones a focused, loving training environment. For what purpose? For what purpose? That they can glorify God when they're adults. That they can be men and women of faith when they're adults. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. Just turn over to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. We have a running joke in our family. We're keeping it as a joke so it doesn't end up being serious. You may not be able to tell from you where you are, but the joke is we start into something extreme or some joke or some lighthearted point, and the other members of the family do this. We roll our eyes, big and deliberate, and stare up at the ceiling. And the other one will say, is there something on the ceiling? I didn't notice. It's silly. It's just our family joke. But it's in order to dissipate that sort of serious reaction where you're speaking, but I'm not interested in what you're saying. You see, if you remember what we read in Proverbs 1, I kind of skipped over it. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It is not natural in our society that teenagers and children ask for more instruction, for more information. Will you please teach me or instruct me? Will you please correct me? Would you please get on me for not getting up early enough? We don't tend to want to do that. But the person who shoves it away, who rejects it, who gets rid of it, is considered a fool in Scripture. And one of the first things we need to be helping our families learn is not to get rid of instruction. That we need to be taking in information. We need to be gathering wisdom. And moms and dads are the first point, the first place, the primary source of that wisdom for our families. Deuteronomy 6 is the famous quotation where this commandments, the statutes and judgments which your Lord our God has commanded me to teach you that you might do them, Deuteronomy 6 verse 1, in the land where you are going to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, etc., etc. The point of this is that you grow up a son who can then grow up a son, and all three of you are walking with the Lord. The instructions given to Israel. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house. So a critical use. We started this by saying, slow down. A critical and important use of taking a slower, more deliberate walk through life is the learning of God's wisdom and God's application to that walk. Those of you who do not have children at home right now are at a slight disadvantage because you don't have an extra set of eyes watching you every moment. But what we need here as a congregation is a collection of strong homes and families. And so if you don't have children at home with you, you have one thing that the parents who do have children at home don't have much of. That's time. So you can be an extra source of encouragement. You can be an extra source of connection. You can pay more attention in these sorts of gatherings to the children in here, to our teenagers in here. You can mentor them individually. You can pull them in collectively. You can talk to them specifically. You can strengthen and encourage the marriages and the lives of the parents around you. We need to be a source of strength for families. We need to be helping families teach their children. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The home is the primary source for teaching about God, teaching about Christ, teaching about morals, teaching about life. It's all learned in the home. The first thing in your life, the very first thing, with children, without children, grandparents, never a parent, not married, wherever you are in your life, the very first thing to do in preparing for that place of instruction, in preparing to be a source of strength and encouragement to families around you, is to be real. Be real about your faith. Be real about your life. Be real about who you are. Between you and God, between you and yourself, and between you and those around you. Be real. Let your faith be real. Don't paste on a smile if the heart's in anguish. Go get some help. Don't skim over a dagger in your side of sin and anguish and pain and struggle. Don't skim over that and say to the person who asks you, oh no, I'm fine, doing great, what a great week. And all the while, Satan is turning that thing in your side. Be real. Because who knows who you really are? Your family. Your home. At the very least, you and God. But you're not going to be able to fake your faith. You're not going to be able to fake your walk to those children around you who are watching you day to day. Being real, being honest, brings us to a real point of growth and obedience with God. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 reads this way, in the spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you were also called of Christ Jesus. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. We are people who are to be living by faith. And if that's fake, if that's not settled, if that's not growing and deep and real, then it sets the entire path. Everything after that is askew. The righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith. One person's faith to another person's faith. One day to the next day. One application of the truth of God to the next person's growth and understanding of the truth of God. From faith to faith, the righteous man shall live by faith. And we have to be a people of faith and a people whose faith is real. With a real faith. With a real faith. Then the special teachings, the special teachings that we can have in our families can come to the surface. By slowing down and being deliberate about being a family being built by God, applying real faith, then that's where our children are going to learn things like commitment. Our children are to learn what unity means. Our children are to learn about compassion. Our children are to learn discipline. Our children are going to learn in our families forgiveness. You ever seen a happy, successful, growing family that didn't have a generous amount of forgiveness bouncing around? No. You got to have buckets full of forgiveness. That's where children learn what it is and how to apply it. That's where children learn that it's more blessed to give than to receive. They learn about giving. And oh, by the way, as we said, in every one of these, the one learning more is dad and mom. Every time I think through or apply a lesson on one of these topics, I convict myself. I grow myself. I change. The Lord changes me and who I am. Respect, love, eternity. What I would like to do is to develop these principles for us as families. And that in lessons in the coming year, I have in mind one a month, that we can learn the lessons of commitment, of unity, of compassion, of discipline, in how inside of our families those lessons are grown and applied and then explode or expand into blessings all across the church. As your family is strong, I'm blessed. Not because I'm standing up here, but because we're all connected as a body. Every relationship in here that is strengthened and encouraged and built up helps every other relationship in here. And every relationship in here that is damaged and divided and cracked and hurting hurts every relationship in here. And the basic relationships are the home. The basic relationships are in the family. The most fundamental of all, of course, being the husband and wife. We are to be faithful families because our Heavenly Father is faithful. We're to be united families. That the scripture, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "Now I exhort you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." And verses that say, "Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Scriptures that teach us about commitment and that teach us about unity, applied in our families, then become pieces of strength that we can apply across the congregation. And when we are allowing families to be divided, to be hurt, to be weak, then across the congregation, they also become weaknesses and points of failure or loss. So, this week, I have two things for you to do on a daily basis and one thing for you to do over the time of the 2 weeks. Every day, starting today, and from now until the end of the year, I'd like you to do two things in your home. One is pray as a couple. Now, not everybody in here is a couple, so if you're not, obviously you have your own prayer time. But for husbands and wives, set aside a time, a private time, for you two to pray. You decide how long, you decide all the rest of it. But I'm asking the couples in here to pray over the next 2 weeks. Slow down your lives. Deliberately use your days to go back to what Psalm 127 says, to let God build your house. The couples pray. And the second thing to do is to pray with your children. Not at the dinner table, not at a mealtime, morning, evening, middle of the day, however it works out. You gather around as a huddle and you pray together. Those are the two things I'd like you to do every day. Pray as a husband and wife and pray as a family. And the one thing I'd like you to add to that is that you use your slower pace, holiday time, to connect with somebody else here. Connect with another family, preferably somebody you don't know very well. Between now and the end of the year, invite them over, stop by, knock on their door, bring them a gift, go out for a cup of coffee, call them up, do something together, anything. But connect with somebody else in the congregation that you don't know well, or if you do, that you need to grow closer together with sometime in the next 2 weeks. Let's be deliberate about this blessed time that God allows us to have, where things can tend to slow down if we're deliberate about it, and we can be useful about allowing God to build our homes. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. God wants to be the architect of our homes, of our relationships, of our families. And we're the only ones that get in the way. So, slow down. Pray every day as a couple. Pray every day as a family. And pull yourself towards somebody else. Go knock on their door some Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, Friday night, and bring them a fruitcake. Whatever it is, connect with somebody. You can add your fruitcake jokes in there anytime you want. What a blessing it is that God has made us family. There's a lot more to that lesson of what it means to be brothers and sisters and why he's done that. But know this, he created families and he created the church, and they fit together perfectly. He wants us strong and sound in faith and in unity as families, that we can be strong and sound in faith and unity and working together as a church. Today, if there's any here who have not done the first part of that step, and that is be strong yourself in the Lord, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, if your faith hasn't brought you to that point of obedience, I offer you this time. We don't want your day to go by. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we don't want today to go by without you taking advantage of that. If you need to ask questions, you need more Bible studies, please ask. Ask me or any one of the other men here. If today you have something that you need to publicly settle, request for prayer, something that needs fixed publicly, whatever your need be, if you need to bring it before the congregation, we've chosen a song to sing, and we'd like you to come and let us know what it is while we stand and sing the song. So we do.